Right. Well, it is remarkable that Romans 9, where the problem of evil is explicitly raised, Paul does not resort to the free will defense. Rather, he contradicts the assumptions of that defense. In Romans 9:14, the problem of evil comes to fore. Was God unjust to ordain evil for Esau before he was even born? And what does Paul say? No. Why? Well, the free will defense would say that God foresaw Esau's autonomous free choices and therefore determined to punish him. But Paul traces the evil to God's own free choice. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. God is able to freely make that decision to bless the younger rather than the oldest. He's not going to stop Esau from giving up his birthright for a bowl of soup. And all these things that come about that seem to thwart the kind of normal goings on of what we would expect. And that's the crux of the story. That's why we're reading the story, because this big divide between a family and then the culmination of that, too, is a beautiful story of redemption and forgiveness as well. But here, Paul is the interlocutor. He's expressly talking to the people that would bring this type of charge against God, who would want to believe in the free will defense and posit it against the kind of reform position which Frame would hold to.
Right, exactly. So notice what he says here is that in Romans 9:14, this Esau, God, you know, choosing Esau or Jacob over Esau, is the exact position that you would expect Paul, then, if he held to the free will defense, right, would jump in and say, well, God, you know, saw ahead of time what Esau would do. And so based on Esau's free choice, God chose Jacob. But Paul doesn't do that.
Right.
Paul says, no, it's based on God's choice, right? So where you would expect free will to just come in, Frame says Paul avoids it. And he doesn't talk about it. Another place is in Romans 9:19. The problem of evil comes up again, he tells us. Why does God still blame us, Paul says? And again, the answer is not, he tells us, because God does not control our free choices. Rather, the answer is that he has full rights over us to do whatever he sovereignly chooses to do. And so what Frame is trying to suggest here is the very places where you would expect the free will defense to enter in, it's totally avoided, right? And Paul in Romans chapter 9 doesn't mention it and in fact, goes against it. And so he tells us here, the scripture never uses the free will defense in any passage where the problem of evil is up for discussion. He says, you will not find it in the book of Job. You will not find it in Psalm 37. You won't find it in Psalm 73. Indeed, all these passages presuppose the usual strong view of divine sovereignty. And so, basically, the free will defense is unbiblical. The Bible doesn't use it.
Right. Right. Jesus doesn't use it when, you know, they're talking to him about the tower that fell on the people, nor the Jewish, the Jewish people that were killed by Pilate and their blood spilled in a terrible way, a sacrilegious way. He doesn't point to say, well, you know, that's just people using their free grace to do what they want, and God will judge them. He uses it as a source of saying, listen, you're no better than the tower that fell on them. The tower that fell on them happened, and so you should take solace in the fact that judgment is coming for us all, and now's the time to make yourself right with God and accept salvation through the means of grace. And there you have it. So he doesn't just say, well, you know, these people made their choice, and so this is just Pilate doing what you know he wants to do, and he'll face the repercussions for his free choices. You don't even see Jesus turning to that.